We wait upon you, O Lord, for you our souls wait. More than those who wait for dawn to break, we wait patiently and impatiently. Books open, ears pricked, expectant and hungry. In your word we place our hope. Dress us once again in the scripture just read and your word proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. Not every verse in today's gospel lesson is on the tip of your tongue. But as evidenced, most regular church can usually rattle off the gist of John 3:16. This one sentence is often called the gospel in a nutshell. There's truth to that, but it also leaves us with the assumption that if we can recite John 3:16, whether in the King James Version, which surprisingly I did without thinking about it, or perhaps a more contemporary version. If we recite it, we think we've pretty much got the whole Christian message, as if the rest of the Bible were just commentary. But today's reading is not just verse 16. The assigned passage starts with verses 14 and 15, where Jesus, who is the one speaking, makes reference to an incident from the Old Testament, the one that Vicky just read, involving the serpent in the wilderness. For full context, you would really need to start reading at verse 1 of chapter 3 in John, which I encourage you to do later this afternoon, if you wish. The fact is, many of us who know just John 3:16 aren't going to have the foggy idea of what Jesus was talking about in verses 14 and 15, or why the story of a wilderness serpent serves as an introduction to John 3:16. Verse 16, of course, tells of God's love for the world and of God sending the Son so that everyone who believes in Jesus may not perish but have eternal life. But what does a snake in the wilderness have to do with that? In fact, folks may well assume that this wilderness serpent is another appearance of the one who tempted Adam and Eve, but they'd be wrong. This serpent is not the tempter, but the Savior. Reading John 3:16 and thinking we've got the whole story is like reading cliff notes on the Bible. Or perhaps it's like we've learned to read on the internet when we read the first paragraph of an article and then we click to the next thing that briefly captures our attention. We may, in fact, get the basic nugget of the story, but we miss the in-depth kind of understanding that comes from a deeper reading, from living with the scriptures. One way to view the John passage is in its larger context, is to jump back to Numbers 21, 4 through 9, as Vicky read. Many editions of the Bible, especially study Bibles, have this feature where appropriate verse numbers from other parts of the Bible are listed in the margin so that it connects you to the text you're reading. We're going to jump to that story for a moment, and thanks to Numbers, we'll have a better understanding of what Jesus was getting at in John 3:16. The Numbers story finds the people of Israel in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan, their promised land, after the Exodus. This is after God used Moses to free God's people from slavery under Pharaoh. It is after the Israelites have crossed the Red Sea. They've been wandering in the desert for a long while already. Now their route requires them to skirt the land of Edom. And this detour makes the Israelites cranky. and it brings up complaints that they've raised to Moses before. Our slavery in Egypt was better than this. We're going to die out here in the wilderness. And then, in a rant that really doesn't even make sense, they add, we've got no food, no water, and this food we have is miserable. They complain not only against Moses, but also against God. Now, if we're really going to be into deep reading, we could go back even further into Numbers to see that this is not the first occasion of their complaining. It's not their second, or even their third. It is at least the fourth occasion, and in the preceding time, God addressed their complaints always in some manner. But here they are at it once again. Apparently, God finds their complaints tiresome because this time, according to the Numbers 21 account, God sent poisonous serpents among them who bit them, and many of the people died. This brought the rest of the people quickly back to Moses with the admission that they had sinned against him and against God. And they pleaded with Moses to intervene with God on their behalf. When Moses did so, God told him to fashion a serpent out of bronze and place it on a pole. God instructed that anyone who was bitten by the live serpent should look at the bronze serpent on that pole. And when they did so, they would recover and live. Now, if we return to John and look at that larger context, we see that Jesus mentions the serpent in the wilderness in a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. This is the man who came to Jesus seeking to understand Jesus' message and mission. And as they were both Jewish and steeped in the Hebrew scriptures, Jesus was able to refer to this serpent story with the certainty that Nicodemus would know that story and be able to use it in comparison to Jesus' mission. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus, his light bulb goes on. Suddenly he understands that Jesus intends to be the Savior. I would imagine at this point that Nicodemus doesn't envision Jesus dying on a cross or being lifted up in that sense. But Nicodemus is at least beginning to realize what Jesus means. Jesus is saying that just like looking at the bronze serpent on a pole enabled those ancients who were dying due to their sin to live, so looking at Jesus with belief will enable those dying in sin today to live eternally. Knowing the context of this reading of the Bible also helps us to grasp what Jesus says after John 3:16. He says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Remember in the Numbers story, the live serpents were agents of judgment. They only bit those who sinned in their complaints about God. But here Jesus tells Nicodemus how his role differs from the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus didn't come to be like the biting serpents of judgment and death. Jesus was not sent to condemn the world, but to save it. The bronze serpent was the only representation of the role Jesus came to fill. Granted, those who refuse to believe are condemned already, but condemnation is not why Jesus came. Jesus came to save all those who are dying spiritually in sin. So, it's not enough to just read John 3:16 all by itself and think we have the gospel message. We get far more out of it if we do what Jesus invited Nicodemus to do, to make rich mental connections between the Old Testament and the gospel that Jesus was bringing. Reading the Bible and making those connections will help us see John 3:16 as Nicodemus came to see it. It also helps us realize that the theme of God saving those dying in sin is not limited to the story from Numbers or to this verse in John. Here, for example, is what John 107, which is today's Psalm reading, says. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. In Numbers, some of the bitten people could have refused to look at that bronze serpent, and they died. It's hard to imagine why anyone would, but it is possible. In the same way, sin-bitten people today can refuse to look to Jesus, the Savior that God provided. It makes living here and now on earth so much harder when we don't have Jesus. In addition, we could miss eternal life. It's hard to imagine why anyone would, but we know it's possible. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Do you get it? God loves you. Now believe it and share it. In Jesus' name, amen.